Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. A gauge of China's manufacturing activity fell to a six-month low in November, and a new sign that economic slowdown is deepening in China. HSBC Corporation today says its monthly purchasing managers index fell to 50.0 from the previous month's 50.4. The index uses a 100-point scale from which numbers below 50 show activity contracting. China's economic growth slipped to a five-year low of 7.3% in the quarter that ended in September. Russia's ruble has dropped more than 3%, pressured by declining oil prices and the flagging economy. The Russian currency traded 52 rubles against the dollar at the opening today. Oil prices, which are the backbone of the Russian economy, dropped roughly 25% since the summer. Meanwhile, Russia's pork, poultry, and beef imports are down sharply this year because of sanctions imposed by the country on imports from the European Union, the U.S., Norway, Australia, and Canada. Between January 1st and November 24th, Russia's pork imports fell 42% from the corresponding period last year. Poultry imports were down 23.2%, and beef imports were down 5.1%. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 126,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 14-15 marketing year. The marketing year for corn began on September the 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 17,728. It's down 100 points. The NASDAQ is 4735, down 56. The S&P 500 is 2051, down almost 16 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. Boy, it was a great weekend for a little while, and then the wind came rushing through, and temperatures this morning back into the single digits and teens in quite a bit of the region from parts of Iowa, Nebraska into Wisconsin and Michigan, with sub-zero temperatures this morning in Minnesota and the eastern Dakotas. In contrast, the temperatures are still somewhat on the warm side in Kentucky and southern portions of Indiana and portions of Ohio, where temperatures are in the 30s and 40s. But this new surge of cold, it represents perhaps what may be the last in a series of cold air masses for the region for a little while. A change in North American weather seems to be on tap here for later this week and on into next week. This change will likely produce a warmer bias in the northern U.S. plains, the upper Midwest, parts of Canada, and a change towards a bit of a wetter bias for some of the southern U.S. plains. Unfortunately for the lower Midwest, this may not bring much of a change at all. In fact, it'll enhance some of the rainfall frequency across some of the southern parts of the Midwest, coming up out of parts of Missouri into the Ohio Basin and the Tennessee River Basin. These areas will probably be subjected to maybe three weather disturbances over the next 7 days. And each one will likely bring light amounts of moisture to the region, but nobody wants that moisture right now. It's plenty moist out there, and we're going to be having to deal with a fairly high frequency of cloudiness and precipitation for a while in those areas. The first disturbance already, of course, is associated with the cold air mass working its way through portions of the Midwest this morning. And we do have rain and snow mixed and even some freezing rain occurring from southeastern Missouri right through the Ohio River Valley into southern Ohio and parts of Kentucky. It is dry to the north, but there's a lot of wind blowing, and it's fairly chilly as well. As we go through the rest of the day, some of this region in the Ohio River Valley will pick up another few hundredths of an inch, upwards to a quarter of an inch of moisture. It's not going to be heavy, but it's still going to be a bit of an aggravation for a while yet this morning. As we go into the day tomorrow, another small batch of showers will begin to develop late in the day, and it'll be more likely on into Thursday that we'll likely see the next opportunity for precipitation working its way into the area. Thursday and Friday, the lower parts of the Midwest will likely see anywhere from a quarter to three-quarters of an inch of moisture, maybe some local totals getting up over an inch perhaps, mostly to the south of the Ohio River, though. The best harvest weather will likely occur in northern parts of the Midwest, from central Illinois and northern Indiana, northward through Michigan and parts of Minnesota. I say the best harvest weather. Obviously, conditions in localized areas will be varying quite a bit, but there's not going to be any precipitation in those areas. Some of that region is still pretty wet, and there's some snow to deal with as well. But we are going to see those areas stay relatively dry over the coming week. Now, after this system that I mentioned for late this week passes through, there'll be another one over the weekend that will come out of the southern plains. And, again, rain will be widespread from Missouri and parts of Arkansas right on into Ohio and parts of Kentucky. And this one will be a little bit bigger event, possibly maybe a half to 1.5 inches of rain occurring, something locally greater. So, again, the lower parts of the Midwest, not so great of a story for this week. The northern areas will be relatively dry. Our temperatures are going to be a little bit better as time moves along, but not as good as they were over the weekend. And temperatures will be still cooler biased for a little while. We'll look for the afternoon highs today, running mostly in the teens and 20s in the far western and northern parts of the Midwest. But we'll see those temperatures moderate quite a bit tomorrow and on into Wednesday with highs those days running in the 20s and 30s in the north and perhaps some 40s and 50s in the south. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter December wheat is 641.5 up 4.5. March, 644 up 4. Soft December wheat, 582.75 up 5.5. March, 580 up 1.5. December corn, 371.75 down 4. March, 384.75 down 4, now 4.25. July, 399.75 down 4. January soybeans, 10.13.25 down 2.75. March, 10.19, now 10.20 down 2.5. July, 10.30.5 down 2.75. December soybean meal, 388.70 down 2.40. December soybean oils, 32.45, and it is up 27 cents. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Thank you for filling in on a Monday. What's in the corn market today?
Well, I think we got up there and we kind of went up and tried those top end, you know, that 390 area or so in the corn market, and then we've kind of bounced back off that. Kind of interesting overnight. We had a lot of the crude oil was down hard. The dollar was up strong. The gold was down hard. And all that's kind of reversed here this morning. And that's in turn had kind of reversed the grain. Now we're starting to weaken up here a little bit again. But I think we just continue this trading range in the corn, Dave. I don't know that I see anything really that's going to push us below that. I'm not sure that I see anything that really pushes us above that. One interesting thing over the weekend came out there, I think last night actually, was a grain analyst over there in China was talking about corn stocks in China being 120 million metric tons and a stocks to use ratio of 60%, which would be a record stocks to ratio, use ratio in China. So that's probably negative to the corn market here.
Are we at a point where we're going to have to kind of keep an eye on gasoline demand over the holiday season with the idea that ethanol production may be slowing a bit?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can make the argument, and I've seen this in print. I'm not sure I buy into it, but that, you know, the cheaper prices will increase the usage of gasoline volume and maybe actually end up using more ethanol because of that. I'm not, like I say, I'm not sure I buy into that right now. But one of the things that's really affected is Russia, and I think that's really a key to this wheat market and that. And some people are looking at it as friendly, but I mean, this low energy prices has really hurt them. The ruble's just fallen out of bed, and I guess I could see where that would. To me, that's kind of could be bearish to wheat as you see, you know, maybe their exports pick up.
Meanwhile, we still have about 525 million bushels of corn out in the fields. What do you think we'll see this afternoon?
Yep, that report will be out this afternoon. We'll also see the commitment of trader to report out this afternoon because of the holiday last week. So see what the funds did last week.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, December corn, 372, down 3¾. March, 384 and three quarters, down 4. July is 399 and three quarters, down 4. January soybeans, 1013, down 3. March, 1019 and three quarters, down 2¾. May, 1026 and a quarter, down 3. July, 1030, down 3½. December soybean meal, 387.80, down 330. December soybean oil, 32.45, up 27. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.